Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
One organization still pushing to protect civil rights is the American Civil Liberties Union. Since 1920, the ACLU has been involved in some of this country's most pressing cases, including censorship, segregation, Japanese internment, reproductive rights, privacy, discrimination, and gay marriage. But also, the ACLU fought for the alt-right's rights to assemble in Charlottesville. For the last 4 years, they've been exceptionally busy for the ACLU, as a new documentary called The Fight shows us. Here is Dale Ho, director of the ACLU's Voting Rights Project, on the importance of his work in this moment.
Before the election, I mean, I was thinking, we'll get through the election and maybe see, just poke around out there and see if there may be things that will allow me to spend a little more time with my family. But the results of this election made that idea just, I just tossed that idea out the window. I mean, if I'm not going to be a civil rights lawyer right now, in this moment, when?
The Fight follows four lawyers, each tackling cases you've read about in the news, from family separation at the border to the ban on trans people, from military service to the teenager taken into custody at the border who said she was raped but was refused an abortion. The Fight is coming to a streaming service near you on July 31st. And joining me now to talk about documenting the ACLU's work, our director, Elise Steinberg. Hi, Elise.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for having me.
And one of the subjects of the films, Bridget Amiri, Deputy Director of ACLU's Reproductive Freedom Project. Bridget, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the film starts in our own backyard, Elise, with the protests at JFK and at the federal courthouse in Brooklyn. The Trump administration had very suddenly put into place this version of a Muslim travel ban, and travelers are being held in limbo at JFK. ACLU attorney Lee Gellert, I would say his name wrong, and I have to say, full disclosure, I do know Lee, was trying to get a judge in Brooklyn to hold Trump's executive order. Why did you choose that moment as the starting point for the film, Elise?
Well, that was the moment that I was actually with the protesters on the steps of the Brooklyn courthouse. And it was in that moment that I decided that I wanted to make this documentary. I saw the ACLU attorney Lee Gellert emerge with his fist raised high, and just the expression on his face, just total exhaustion and exhilaration and shock at the crowds of people that were chanting ACLU. And I immediately felt that we needed to be next to this guy and these ACLU lawyers in this moment fighting Trump for the next 3 years. I felt like we are in this civil rights battle that I was the biggest battle of my lifetime, and that as a documentarian, I felt a duty and almost a calling to document.
So, Bridget, we heard the clip of your colleague talking about the importance of being a civil rights lawyer at this time. So I just want to get a bigger picture. I'll pull out for a minute. Every administration gets to put forth their policies and their programs as they see fit. It happens whether you're Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal. What is it about this particular administration that falls outside the norm of that?
Well, I should say that the ACLU has sued every presidential administration and obviously lots of state governments as well. And that has always been true. But with this particular presidential administration, it is the repeated and extreme violations of the Constitution that sets the Trump administration apart from other recent presidential administrations. And just the abject cruelty of the policies and the human suffering that they cause, I think, is unparalleled by recent presidential administrations.
As you watch the film, Elise, you had so much access during these meetings. We see the lawyers when their decisions are coming down. What were some of the ground rules set by your subjects so that you could have that kind of access? And then you, as a documentary filmmaker, what how did you decide how far to push it, how far to go when someone said no about something?
Well, going in, we had total creative control and complete independence. But we understood that we were going to be filming some sensitive stuff. And so one of the ground rules was you can kick us out at any time. Bridget kicked me out many times. I said, but we had to respect you know, there was client, attorney-client privilege, and that was the one thing that we had to respect, and that was the one ground rule. So we could turn off our camera anytime and leave the room, and we did it. And, you know, it's anyone who makes documentary understands you start to, we filmed this for 3 years, so after months of filming, a trust builds up. And so I think that access is a credit to the relationship that we built over time.
Bridget, why did you allow these filmmakers to follow you around, follow you into your home, follow you on the Acela, follow you everywhere?
Because it's an important time in our history that needs to be documented. And either for the short, near future, for people to understand what is happening with our presidential administration, and also for the future, looking way ahead, that I'm hoping that this will also serve as a cautionary tale, that the type of policies that the Trump administration enacted, we never want to see in our country again. And so that's really why I agreed to do this.
My guest, Arlie Steinberg, she's the director of the film The Fight, and I'm speaking also with lawyer Bridget Amiri. She is one of the subjects of the documentary. So, Bridget, the case you're working on is one that was widely reported. A 17-year-old girl was in a federal shelter. She said she was pregnant as the result of a rape in her home country. She wanted to terminate the pregnancy. She was underage and undocumented, and she did cross the border illegally. She was living in a government shelter. We see in the film how the case got to you. Will you share with my audience how you learned of this case?
Sure. So, you know, we learned of not just Jane Doe's case, but also there were other Janes that were, as we call them, that weren't in the film. But we represented a series of young women battling the Trump administration to access abortion. And so it was some combination for the Janes of anonymous tips, and also conversations with people who were on the ground. So we would have to race into court for each individual young woman until we got a class action that we were able to proceed in court with to ensure that no pregnant minor in government custody could be obstructed from accessing abortion.
How often does that happen that you get anonymous tips about cases?
This is the first time ever. I've been at the ACLU for 15 years, and I've never experienced anything like this.
What did you think of it when you first got the tip?
I was surprised, but I also knew that we needed to act quickly. And so that's what we did. You know, with all of these cases, it's a race against the clock. If someone is pushed too far into their pregnancy, then they will lose the ability to make the decision about whether to continue the pregnancy because of the limits on the time when people can have abortions. So it's a race against the clock to make sure that if someone has decided to have an abortion, that they are allowed to have access to it.
In the case, you were really insistent on knowing the personal beliefs of someone involved in the case, specifically Scott Lloyd, the former Office of Refugee Resettlement. I want to play a clip from the film that at least included the film. This is you grilling him about his personal beliefs.
You also believe that abortion is a sin.
What does that have to do with anything?
It has to do with a lot. I get to ask the questions. Mr.
Sure.
Tomlinson can object. So my question is, do you believe abortion is a sin?
Yes. Can object. He's testified in the past that he does not let religion guide his job.
I'm trying to understand what the policy really is here with respect to abortion requests.
Okay, then let's talk about the policy.
Okay. I'm trying to understand whether there is any abortion request that you are ever going to approve.
And the answer, which I've answered, is I don't know.
Why was that so important to establish his personal beliefs legally? Why was that important for you?
So for a couple of reasons. One is that the policy that Scott Lloyd created with the backing of higher-ups in the Trump administration allowed him to decide on a case-by-case basis individually whether a minor could have access to abortion. And so I'm trying to establish that there's really no case-by-case determination that he's making. This is a blanket ban on abortion for everyone. And secondly, we brought an Establishment Clause claim, which is a separation of church and state claim. And I alleged in the case that he was using his religious belief to make determinations about whether minors could access abortions in violation of the Constitution.
We're talking about the film The Fight. I'm speaking with the film's director, Elise Steinberg, and one of the subjects of the film, attorney Bridget Amiri. We'll have more after a quick break. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest this hour, director Elise Steinberg. The name of her new film is The Fight. Elise, you know, what was something you learned about the way the law worked that you really hadn't understood before?
I think, you know, going into this, I had this idea of the ACLU, and I really wanted to know what it looks like. Who are the people that file these briefs, that go into court for us? And a part of it was wanting to, like, you know, get in there and meet the people. And I think what I discovered is that, you know, the stakes of these fights and the people that fight them, they hit me in a much visceral way. I really got to understand the everyday life of people like Bridget and Dale and Chase and all the other lawyers we followed. And, you know, sometimes what happens is just like the movie, just like you imagine. I mean, these guys are, you know, staying up all night, prepping a case, going in, speeding, you know, in the cab to make it. And I was surprised at how much it played out like a film. And then on the other hand, you also have this mundane, so much briefs that they have to write, running to the copy machine. And I think that what I wanted to show in this film was both, was that you get to see a glimpse of these lawyers fighting this massive, epic battle, but you also get to see them doing it while wrangling their children, wrestling with broken phone chargers, fumbling. And I think it's these human moments, these struggles, that I think we can all relate to, and that in a way, history and justice, these things move forward by the struggle, by the human struggle.
Yeah, there are some funny touches in the film. Lee, who's just a brilliant legal mind, can't figure out his iPhone charger. And he's so perplexed by it all. I'm also joined by Bridget Amiri. She's deputy director of ACLU's Reproductive Freedom Project. You know, Bridget, was there anything after watching this film that you learned about the way the ACLU works or about your colleagues that you really didn't know because you're so close to it, as you were able to see it as a viewer?
Sure. And actually, in some ways, it's the opposite, is that I got to see an inside look at how they run their cases and, you know, what they do in terms of their litigation and their litigation strategy, even though I just sit down the hall from all of these wonderful colleagues. We're all so busy and we're all, you know, absorbed in our own work that it was really wonderful to see how they do their jobs. And it was just wonderful to experience it from that perspective.
One of the interesting behind-the-scenes moments that we get to see in the film, and I'm going to play a clip from this, is the discussion about the organization's role in defending the rights of white supremacists to rally at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. These are the two sides of the discussion which you have in the film. This first is Jeffrey Robinson, the ACLU's deputy legal director, and he contrasts the Unite the Right rally from the small group of neo-Nazis the ACLU defended in Skokie, Illinois in 78, for people who remember that. And then you'll hear David Cole, the legal director, making the counter-argument. This is from The Fight.
This ain't Skokie, Illinois. This isn't a handful of neo-Nazis who don't have weapons and who don't have a president in the White House spewing openly racist stuff.
Well, I would say, you know, the fact that President Trump is in office and that we have someone who is a racist in power only underscores why you would not want to give government officials the power to silence those whose views they disagree with. President Trump is not going to silence the white supremacists. Who is he going to silence if you give him that power?
So, Bridget, what was the atmosphere like within the ACLU during this time when people felt differently about this decision for Unite to Right?
Yeah, it was really hard. I mean, it's not just the disagreement about the decision about whether to to represent a white supremacist group in their request to seek a permit to march, but also obviously the human element of the violence and the hatred and just the pain of it. So there was a lot of emotions and a lot of really important discussions that were happening and that continue to this day. I think that these are questions that have existed throughout the ACLU's 100-year history in terms of how we select cases, you know, where there are competing constitutional rights and how to prioritize certain issues. And this is a difficult conversation that, you know, everyone, you know, really delved into after Charlottesville, and I think still continues to this day. And it's hard.
Elise, what did you want viewers to get from this particular portion of the film and about the internal debate?
Well, I think it was crucial for us to show the debate that played out at the ACLU. You know, in filming it, we experienced it just like our subjects. We were following their cases, and then suddenly Charlottesville happened. And what we saw was a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, a lot of differing opinions, and it was a painful moment. And the film had to include this moment. And I think one of the things that I learned or experienced in this moment was just how much the fight, you know, these lawyers and fighting for their rights, it's not abstract anymore, you know. This really shows what's at stake, these fights for civil rights. It's real. And but one of the things that I thought was wonderful was that the ACLU allowed for this kind of debate, and there was a lot of healthy debate, and that we were able to show that in the film.
The name of the film is The Fight. I'm speaking with its director, Elise Steinberg, and Bridget Amiri, ACLU's Deputy Director for Reproductive Freedom, the Reproductive Freedom Project, let me say that correctly. So Bridget, I'm curious, when you think about where reproductive rights are at this moment, what is something that has happened, let's say in the past 4 years, that you feel good about? And what is something that keeps you up at night?
Sure. So I feel, you know, really good about all of the progress that has actually been made in certain states to take away restrictions on access to abortion and to really move the ball forward in terms of access. There were a number of policies that were passed in different states, including Maine and Illinois, that were really progressive policies that will ensure greater access for abortion. But what keeps me up at night is the states that are heavily restricting access to abortion, trying to ban abortion or push it out of reach. And then Donald Trump's vow to appoint justices that would overturn Roe versus Wade, and that he has so far been able to appoint to. And the fundamental right under the Constitution to access abortion really hangs by a thread. And so that is what keeps me up at night in terms of what that means for people and people's access, and whether anyone who's decided to have an abortion is able to get one without shame, obstacles, and stigma. And that is what's really just troubling about the how precarious everything is.
What did you think when you first heard about the reoccurrence of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's cancer, Bridget?
You know, obviously, we are hoping that she is well and continues to fight, and she's a fighter. And you know, we hope that she recovers, and she has, you know, vowed to stay on the court, and she says that she will continue to do that.
Bridget, also breaking over the weekend, the ACLU of Oregon is going to play a role in litigating some of the issues going on in Portland right now. Can you fill us in a little bit about what's going on there and what the ACLU chapter, what strategy might be possible?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know too much. Again, kind of getting back into everyone's working really hard and doing their own thing.
Sure.
I don't know too much, probably only, you know, what I've read in the press, but, you know, what is happening in Portland in terms of identified government military essentially pulling protesters off the street is unconstitutional, and our affiliate in Oregon has taken legal action.
Elise, final question for you about the film. What was hard when you made this film? What was difficult as you were making
it? This was a very hard film to make. First on the production, we were having to follow these lawyers in multiple different locations, having to get crews, following them from Tijuana to DC to New York. So there was a, you know, constant need to, you know, these lawyers would get a, Trump would tweet something and then they would jump into action and we would jump with them. So just keeping up with them and doing that pretty consistently for the past 3 years, that was challenging. And then in the edit, this was a massive story challenge. We had four complex cases, so we had to try to distill them down in a way that was entertaining and also get the important message. So I think that we had to weave everything together. So this was an epic, epic film, but one that we feel, you know, really gets to show the what fighting civil rights right now looks like, what it looked like to fight Trump for the last 3 years, and who are these everyday heroes who fight these battles for us.
The name of the film is The Fight. It will be available for streaming on July 31st. Director Elise Steinberg and attorney Bridget Amiri, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thank you.